Living Dead in Austin is brought to you by the Armadillo Podcasting Club.
The sun's going down in midnight Texas and things are about to get weird. Hello there, you're listening to Living Dead in Austin. We're reading Charlene Harris's Midnight Texas series. I'm Alice Sullivan.
I'm Jeff Lake.
And I'm Micah Sparkman.
And today we're reading chapters 30 through 38, which is the end of Night Shift, the third and final book in the Midnight Texas series.
Previously, Lemuel's translator finishes his book, then gets a little feisty, so he shrugs and murders her. The gas station goth reveals that he is actually Manfred's demon granddad, and his demon daddy is the thing under the crossroads. We also learn...
Granddad's demon daddy.
Yeah, the granddad's... No, that's a good point, yeah. To clarify, the granddad's demon daddy.
Yes.
Yeah. Manfred's granddad's demon daddy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Manfred's daddy is still TBD.
Yeah, unknown. Maybe also demon.
We don't know.
We also learn the incredibly cringy backstory of this demon and how he was embarrassed into a slumber of 250 years. So the Midnighters gather and meet up and plan how they will deflower Fiji to put him down for another 250 years. Wow.
Again? Come on!
I just want to get laid! It's been 250 fucking years since I got any.
250 unfucking years, actually. Also, a stretched Humvee full of gangsters shows up for a shootout, but Fiji just freezes them until the cops show up. It feels like this spell has limitless potential. I'm astounded that Fiji doesn't use this thing every damn day, honestly, right? Think about it.
She kind of uses it a lot, actually.
She does use it a lot. I would use it even more.
Like, there's a bit in these chapters where this kind of annoying customer comes in.
Yeah.
And I was like, careful, lady. You're about to get froze.
Yeah. She just, like, wakes up and she's, like, back in her car. Like, what? Where am I?
Do you think they can see and or you think they're aware while frozen? Or
no. They are not. They just, yeah, because remember she froze that one... Was it a reporter or whatever
who
just got confused and left or something?
Yeah.
So yeah, she could freeze someone, charge something to their credit card, put them in their car, and then they look down, they see they bought like $100 worth of like witch gumballs or something. yeah.
I would use it all the time. I would be like, hey, you guys want something from the kitchen? And I would freeze you and go get it and bring it back.
Wait, would we even know?
Why would you tell?
Because you'd be so impressed by my service.
So from our perspective, you'd be like,
wait,
okay, you want something from the kitchen? And bang, it's in your hands.
Yeah, I'd be like, hey, you want some brownies? And you don't know, it's been an hour.
That would be pretty
funny. Yeah.
We wouldn't even know if she did it, right?
For you. Yeah.
You could be doing it right now and we wouldn't know, right?
No, you really wouldn't.
Huh.
Until
I edited the podcast.
Anyway, it's time to get back to what's really important, which is who gets to bone Fiji.
Chapter 30. Fiji's in the hospital coming to terms with having murdered the guy in the Hummer who had shot Olivia.
Yeah, I mean, considering she just did a magic murder, she seems like she's in good condition, right?
Yeah, she passed out because she kind of overdid the magic. I guess this world doesn't know about magic and witchcraft?
That's one of the things that's less public, right?
Yeah.
The only vampires are public information, right?
I think at this point. Well, and werewolves.
Werewolves must be.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not sure where exactly this takes place in the Sookieverse, but I think it's after her book series has ended.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Either way...
It is. I know for a fact it is.
Okay, yeah. Her takeaway is to just use less magic next time, which implies that there will be... A next time.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like the old saying, once you pop, the fun don't stop. That's the old adage.
Yeah. Maybe it's going to be less freezing in Fiji's future and more screaming the air out of somebody's bloodstream or whatever it was she did to that guy.
Yeah. Just took his air, whatever that means.
Arthur questions her and she just lies like a rug.
Well, actually, you know, like other than the part about freezing their attackers and killing the guy with her mind, she actually... mostly tells the truth,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but don't you think he's most curious about how the guy died?
Yeah, well, that's definitely what he's getting at.
But
she did Aes Sedai it up, right? Where she didn't say a word that wasn't true.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But she's always like, I saw him. I thought he was going to shoot me. And then he just had a seizure. And then
I don't know what happened to him.
He fell over.
Yeah, and then he convulsed.
You know, he did. Okay, I think probably what it is I'm used to Sookie, who just like lies about everything from end to end, right?
Out. Yeah.
So like this was like a breath of fresh air-ish or something.
Yeah, but not for that guy.
She only. Yeah, not that guy. He doesn't get to breathe anymore. Yeah. So there, that was a good conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Chewie comes in to check on her too.
He does. He thinks if Fiji hadn't killed the guy in the Hummer who was Ellery McGuire, the guy we've been hearing about for a while, then he and his men would have killed the whole town to hide that Olivia was the target. And do we know why he was so set on killing Olivia?
It's because he wants to inherit the father's empire, and yeah, he sees her as a potential threat.
Okay.
Yeah, she's the natural inheritor, but he figures if she's dead, he'll be the person.
Yeah, okay.
I guess. Okay. But we also, Fiji also mentions that when she killed that guy, she heard the demon laugh,
mm-hmm,
which is probably a bad sign.
Yeah. Chewie's like, yeah. She goes home and sleeps. When she wakes up, Lemuel is in her bedroom, so he pulls a Sookie.
Oh, yeah. Vampires, man.
Vampires love waking up in people's bedrooms.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how you know Quinn must have not been in town that day, because otherwise he would have been in her bedroom, too.
Yeah.
That's where everybody shows up.
That's how you go chat with somebody, right?
Yeah, he's like, what, my second to last girlfriend always liked it when she woke up and I was in her bedroom.
She loved it.
Yeah. Chapter 31. Fiji chats with Manfred and the annoying woman who visits the shop and Mr. Snuggly.
Yeah, so Manfred is determined to do like a good turn for Fiji. So he goes and buys some baked goods because he's like, I'm not going to make you anything. And then he shows up and he like kind of trashes her place and then leaves. He's like, well done, Manfred.
Yeah. Trashes her place, is about to leave, and is like, hey, if you need somebody to bone you, I'll do it.
That's right. Oh, boy. Good job.
I think I might have conducted some dates this way.
Yeah. You show up some stuff, leave a bunch of trash lying around, and be like, good job, me.
Hey.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah, but she and Mr. Snuggly talk about how he was born under the church. He was taken care of by the Rev. He was chosen by Aunt Mildred, who knew that he was special and different.
Yeah. So I guess we get a little bit more information about like the kind of... it is from a Cap's perspective is the only thing, right?
Sure.
So he says, I was special and different. Is he really? Or is he just like... He gets really touchy
about his siblings and stuff.
Right, yeah.
He's like, they're normal cats. They're good cats. Cats are good. What's your problem?
And when Fiji asks him about the whole talking thing, he's like, I don't know. I just learned how to talk. It's like, uh-huh, sure.
Yep.
Yeah, nothing to do with the magic person who, you know, raised you. But whatever.
And
yeah.
Here's the other question. What happened to his siblings?
Mm, yeah, where are they?
Rev ate them.
Oh. Really?
Oh, no, wait.
You think so?
No, yeah, I mean, they would be like little bite-sized party pops.
Wait, no, he does, right?
Yeah.
No, he does. He has like little he cherishes pops. The love of all, or
he
the life of all.
He ate that cow in the last book.
Yeah, but cows don't count.
Do they not?
They're food, right?
Cows can be sweet.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, I mean, not that cow.
I guess it's possible.
I'm just saying, like, Mr.
It's true. What, did
what they, else would the rest of the family have gone?
If they had placed those with other families in this town, you'd probably see them around.
Well, isn't Mr. Snuggly, like, 100 years old or something?
No. He's normal cat age.
Is he? I got the impression that he was
so
very old. He was Fiji's aunt's cat.
Yeah, but that's not that long ago. I mean, it's...
Oh, okay.
I was assuming she got the house, like, you know...
A couple of years ago.
Yeah, less
something.
Than 10 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because she hasn't been pining after Bobo for 10 years. Well, she's only 27 or something, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it feels like it was longer ago, but I think Aunt Mildred didn't die that long ago at all.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's see. Oh, Mr. Snuggly was under Ellery's car when Fiji killed him to help her focus and boost her power. She took his heir.
Yeah, that's what Mr. Snuggly tells her, because she didn't even know what she did.
Yeah.
Took his heir, which... Sounded very unpleasant.
It did, indeed.
Yeah.
Chapter 32, Joe visits the Reeds, tells them, quote, we're cool, walks away, and Donna's like, this fucking town.
I feel like this whole chapter is about, like, the Reeds, how they're, like, outside the circle, and they're responding to that. So, yeah, this like, Joe thing is, like, I guess to indicate that the town's letting them off the hook for whatever shitty shit they've been up to.
Yeah.
And then Fiji shows up to the restaurant for the first time since she tried to torture
put a hex teacher. On
teacher. Right. Tried to.
Yeah, right. And basically indicates that they're cool. Mm-hmm. And then Lemuel is my favorite one.
Yep.
They're walking home from the restaurant to their trailer.
Yeah, he surprises them.
And materializes.
They freeze. And they're like, are you going to kill us? And he's like, turns out no.
Yeah, he's like, if Olivia had died, you would be dead right now. I'm not going to kill you, but I could.
Yeah.
And I guess that's meant to be reassuring. I don't know.
I didn't find that very reassuring because they established that they were on Olivia's, or they were protecting Olivia. So if she had died, why did they deserve to die? But, you know, Lemuel's like, oh, that's them's the rules.
So. I'll make the rules. I'm sorry.
Yeah, if teacher hadn't said, I'm coming to help Olivia, like, they'd be gone.
Which is an odd thing for him to say.
Yes.
In that time, but important.
Yeah.
But teacher is still reporting to Olivia's dad.
Yes. So yeah, this is a very midnight chapter, you know?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Chapter 33, Lemuel comes to the hospital to fill Olivia in on everything that happened.
Yeah. Olivia feels bad that she had to, that Fiji had to pop her murder cherry right before she pops her other cherry, I guess, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, it's a big weekend.
It's a tough Halloween.
Yeah. But you know, big growth, I guess, for Fiji, right?
What you want Fiji to drink and fight, but you need Fiji to fuck all that.
That's right. Fiji goes to college.
Olivia admits that she's always been a little jealous of Fiji for all of her endearing qualities, so I thought that was kind of sweet, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, they have kind of a tense relationship, but Olivia's like, I actually, you know, I'm into her. Mm-hmm. So she feels protective of her, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then Lemuel thinks about how he would do anything for Olivia. Anything. I don't know. It sounded ominous in that moment, but yeah, I don't know.
I thought he was going to turn her over to the dark side. No, that's not what they say.
Yeah.
Turn her into a vampire right now.
Flip her into a vampire. The vampire, the V-flip.
Yeah, because if she has an injury like that and she gets turned into a vampire, does she keep having that injury forever? Or does it heal back to her?
It heals,
yeah. I'm sure it heals.
This happened, I think we saw this happen at some point where someone got turned and healed, I think. Mm-hmm. I mean,
there was Bubba who got turned.
Okay.
He wasn't doing real good.
That's a good point, yeah.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Because you stay old, right?
You mm-hmm. stay bald. You stay your age.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the problem with Bubba was that he was both embalmed and a little bit, like, past his, like, very, very dead. Or, mm-hmm. you know, like, a little too close to dead, mm-hmm. I think. I hope.
And full of drugs.
Right, and also the drugs.
Yeah. Chapter 34. Fiji and Manfred spread the word to everyone to stay away from midnight on Halloween.
Yeah, she says it's because of the murders. And then, of course, you know, the midnight version is that it's to protect people from being eaten by demons. But I think we all know it's really to minimize the audience for her upcoming performance.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Well, the murder seems like a really good idea, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good reason all by itself. But I mean, that's not really...
This is more reassuring than if she'd been like, despite the murders, the Halloween party's still on. Bring the kids.
Yep.
I do wonder if it had just been the murders and no demon, if they would have canceled that party. I bet they wouldn't have.
No, definitely not.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. Lenore, from the hotel, she comes into the shop to talk to Fiji. She realizes that she and her husband Harvey had been chosen to work at the hotel because they were expendable and wouldn't really be missed.
This was a funny conversation to me because it was like, this is a wrapping up a loose threads conversation,
yes,
right?
It was 100%. There's like, no reason for her to come in and.
Yeah, I just wanted to let you know this is why the hotel is in midnight, in case anyone was curious.
You're looking directly at the camera.
Right.
Yes, but the hotel does have something to do with Olivia, she realizes. And she also mentions the watcher on the top floor.
Yes.
Who has been brought up several times.
Yeah, clearly has been put there to watch.
Oh, yeah.
Olivia.
Mm hmm.
Manfred tells Fiji that if she picks him, he'll man up and do what needs to be done, which probably didn't come across quite as like flattering as he meant it to be.
This is a hard one to phrase, but that ain't it.
Yeah, right? I was like, dude.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah.
You know.
You say, it would be my honor.
Yeah, even the gay guys were like, it would be our honor, right?
Yeah. You know what? I would love to plow that field for you, my friend.
Fiji tells her that Halloween will be dangerous, especially for Harvey, so keep everyone inside. Mm-hmm. And Manfred's like, dude, Harvey's gonna die. Should we, like, make sure she really understands that? Nah, it's too much work.
Yeah. You did the bare minimum, which was tell her to keep him inside. I really feel like that extreme awkward energy is building. Like, you can taste the humiliation in the air right now, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like the air pressure dropping. It's like the cringe pressure is just dropping. You can feel it.
Yeah, you get like the sweaty palms and like the flop sweat. And like, why am I sweating? Oh, I'm embarrassed by what's happening all around me right now.
Chapter 35. It is Halloween.
The big day.
Yeah. Marina from the hotel is having trouble keeping up with Diedrich.
Yeah. Well, you know. Yeah.
But, you know, 19-year-olds, am I right?
3-year-old?
Well, whatever.
You know, it's hard to keep up with a 3-year-old. It's what I've always heard, but maybe not in that context. Anyway.
Joe and Chewie drug the guy at the top of the hotel so he won't wake up for the night. So that's just a story that is never going to be pursued.
Yeah, that's the end of that guy's story.
Yeah.
Well,
I still think that was nobody in particular. I still think so.
Just like literally a writer, like they said.
Yeah, a writer. And he looks out the window because he's a writer and he's thinking.
Yeah.
And there's always something weird happening. Yeah. And then they drugged him on Halloween.
But I think they drugged... I feel like they drugged more than just him because I remember they Lenore mentions that she woke up without knowing how she fell asleep at like 3 a.m. I feel like they drugged like everyone in the hotel.
They did, yeah.
Like they have a vague memory of like having a good time and then they just like wake up suddenly.
Yeah. Wow. I hope they dosed him right.
I mean, angels, right? I don't know who the fuck knows what they dosed him with. Frankincense and myrrh, I guess.
Yeah, we sent your souls to purgatory for 3 hours.
So the town of Midnight is cleaning, studying rituals, and making sure their estate is in order in case they get eaten by demons. So, you know, just a normal Saturday prep, you know?
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
The demon called Connor awakes. He summons Harvey, who's very drunk, and gets him run over.
Yep.
And also summons Kiki, who's close by in Marketville.
She didn't make it very far. She made it as far as the cartoon saloon. And then apparently has been shacking up with some dude ever since.
You know, that just seems like the place to be. All kinds of exciting stuff happening there.
You know, I would never...
You got neo-Nazis, you got vampires, you've got Kiki.
I don't think I would ever choose to go to a place called the Cartoon Saloon, except for this one, because apparently, like, it's got some...
Happening. If you're in Marthasville, this is the place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Apparently that's where I'm going.
Chapter 36, Kiki shows up in Midnight, but they tie her up and everyone comes outside.
Oh, yeah. They also shovel the latest corpse off to the side of the road to deal with later.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, this is, we can't deal with this right now.
That's tomorrow's problem.
Yeah. Yeah,
they got like one of those big like roadkill shovels and just like, boop.
Gross.
They also talk about whether one of the were-tigers building Fiji could make a were-tiger, and it can't.
Yeah, which I think good
deal. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Chapter 37. Fiji and Sylvester use their magic to kind of lock down the town.
Yeah, Fiji comes out in a green silk robe that she's been saving for a special occasion, like losing her virginity while the entire town watches. She didn't know what she was saving it for, but that's what she's been saving it for.
The key here, if you're ever in this situation, wear something that you're never going to want to wear again.
That's right, because you don't want to remember this moment. Yeah. You're going to want to burn that and never think of it again. I guess I figured that Fiji would have chosen before literally this very moment, but no, it's like they line up all the dudes.
She gives one of them a rose.
I gotta say, like, I think I would struggle in this moment if I was just, like, standing there and, like, is this gonna... Like, you have no time to prepare. It's just like, all right, it's you. It's go time. And, I mean, yeah, goddamn. I mean, whew, we know it was gonna be Bobo anyway.
Of course, it's gonna be Bobo.
And I still think that's the wrong call for what it's worth. But
sure.
I guess he's probably the one who wants it more than anyone, so the only one who's likely to be able to perform at this moment.
She said that she did a spell to know which guy to choose. Like, come on.
Yeah,
come on, Fiji. You didn't need to do that.
Yeah, I don't know.
I personally would have gone with Quinn because, like, if you're up against a demon, like having a were-tiger right there would be pretty great. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, it's Quinn. Quinn's hot.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's not going to have any trouble performing because, like, he's used to, you know, just boning in moment, right?
Or strength under pressure. He was fighting in the cages and stuff.
Very true, yeah.
Yeah.
I think Quinn is the solid winner in here. But whatever.
And you don't have to worry about him being tied down with a kid because we all know that he feels no sense of responsibility.
That's a great point.
Just leave
any
time he wants.
So. Yeah, that's a great point. If you get pregnant, you're not stuck with him. He's just going to leave.
Yeah, Fiji already kind of raised his kid for him, so...
Yes. She chooses Bobo.
Yeah.
And they lay down on the street.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Right there. In the
seems very
the wet, cold, wet street, because it's been raining.
And there's probably still Harvey goo on there, too.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He did just get run over there a bunch.
Yeah.
Come on, Harvey. And we just met that guy. He sucks. He sucked, I guess.
So amongst all of those, that delightful setting, they just go to it.
You know what? Honestly, I think that they own it. I think that Fiji owns this moment.
She does.
Absolutely,
she fills herself with magical witch energy, and the sex is apparently as good as it can be.
Which unlikely for your first time. I think great. Yeah.
On pavement.
Yeah. That's right. Her first time on the pavement.
While the town watches.
And as is tradition, a demon shows up to watch.
The giant demon hands come out of the ground.
And he claws Bobo. Yeah.
And he still manages to get the job done.
He steals the deal.
I was very impressed. Yeah.
Bobo came to win.
Yeah. So they both climax, and the demon is like, fuck
and
this.
The power of their magic orgasm that they share with each other. Sends the demon hurtling back into the pit.
Yeah.
He's like, it's actually kind of awesome.
Yeah.
And everybody claps.
And everybody claps.
Everybody literally claps. And to take it one step further, it's not just the people. The town ghosts showed up.
They did. Yes, all the ghosts.
Her aunt watched her.
Her Aunt Mildred is there to watch too. And her sister, Kiki's there. Like, this could not be any worse. This could not be a worse setup. But really, I'm proud of them both.
I'm assuming Diedrich and Quinn are there just jacking on the side. You know, they watch the live sex show.
Oh,
I feel like
God.
They're part of it. They might as well be part of it.
Oh, Mr. Snuggly turns into a lion, which is
he does,
awesome.
Yes.
He's like circling around to protect her.
Yeah, a shadow lion. That was pretty cool.
It is very cool.
Yeah.
The demon still grabs Bobo, though. Still.
That's true, yeah. Well, I mean, Mr. Snuggly's job is to protect Fiji and Bobo. just saying, you know? Like, Mr. Snuggly's there to protect exactly one person. Bobo's just, collateral damage.
I'm just amazed that after a demon clawed down his leg, he was still able to seal the deal.
I know.
Maybe it just, added to the intensity of the moment or something. Insane.
I can say with confidence that I could not pull that off.
I mean, there's, that quick adrenaline surge before it, hurts, maybe?
Yeah, well, okay. There's different,
focused. You're like,
yeah. Well, I mean, like being like a bite or like scratch down the back. Those are nice, right? Yeah. But this is like he was spurting blood, right? Like this is not like a little wound, you know?
Yeah.
True.
This is not like the fun kind of hurt, you know?
You don't know.
You know what? Fair point.
You
don't
know
what Bubba's into.
The demon was probably just like, hey, third person, hey.
Yeah.
And they were like, no.
You mind?
Can I?
Bubba's like, I'm busy, they come. He's like, oh God, okay, fine.
May I have the next dance? No, you may not.
Sinks back under the earth. For another 250
years. God damn, yeah.
You know what? It was business time, and Bobo is a small business owner.
That's right. He's a small business owner, but he did some big business, apparently.
He seals that deal.
Yep. So, yeah, with the job done, Fiji tells her sister to go fuck off and never come back, and goes to take a shower with her new magic boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Win-win all around, right?
Is he a magic boyfriend?
I mean, you know.
He's a regular boyfriend.
Well, I mean, she's...
Magically chosen.
Yeah, magically chosen. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, I hope it works out.
Right?
It'd be really awkward.
Yeah. Oh, God. They're neighbors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oof.
Chapter 38.
A wrap-up chapter.
Wrap-up, yeah. Yeah. The Reeds want to stay.
Yeah.
Olivia's dad calls her and apologizes, and she might be open to having more conversations in the future.
Yeah, hold that one, though. Oof. Yeah, it was like, I'm sorry for letting your stepmother pimp you out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if an apology brings you back from that one. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
No, the apology is good, but I don't think this is grounds for a relationship.
No, I'm inclined to agree with you there. Yeah, Lenore from the hotel discovers that her husband is dead, but doesn't actually seem that upset about it.
Into it.
Yeah, she's like, oh, thank God.
You got run over by a truck. I'm so happy.
Quinn has another bonding moment with his son about relationships, saying that you should never tell a girl that you're only into her because you want to fuck her. Which yeah. I think is like solid and, parenting advice.
Well, yeah, and like actually the conversation.
No matter how true it is.
And he's like, well, what if it's true though? Then what do I tell her? Do I lie to her? And Quinn's like, shit.
I don't know. Find a girl you like spending time with, I guess.
Yeah, I know.
Right? He's like, that could be impossible.
Okay, we're gonna have to work on this.
This is gonna be more than one conversation. You know, we're tigers. They've got some growing to do too, right? Yeah. Let's see.
Manfred and Stella are doing well.
Yeah, good for them. He's got like magical feelings that things are going well.
And she's got like a real job and a career path. And he's like, yeah, nice.
I'm into this. Sylvester, the half demon, decides he wants to stick around, you know, keep working in the gas station.
Presumably to piss on his father's head every day.
Yeah, well, I mean, like that's, yeah, right?
Yeah.
Arthur Smith is investigating another death in Midnight and once again concludes that there's nothing going on. Huh? You find me.
Okay, either he's not that great an investigator, or he just doesn't care.
I it's hard to say. You know, he just likes the Midnight people. He's like, eh, you know. They haven't hurt anyone who, you know, didn't deserve it, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. Also, he's even more chill now that he's getting laid.
That's a good true, point. Yeah, that does take the edge off just about anyone, right?
Mm-hmm. And Fiji and Bobo are still banging.
Yeah, Mr. Snuggly is doing an inventory of the cat food, deciding how long he can afford to let them do that, because he knows that Fiji needs to make money so she can buy cat food. He's got a very, like, he's a very driven cat, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That's it?
That's it. That's the end of our time in this universe, I guess, right?
It is.
It's a little sad.
It is a little sad.
We did all the Sookie books and all these books, and there's nothing else that's actually set in this universe, right?
Just short stories.
Just short stories, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a fun ride.
It has been a fun ride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we've talked about this a lot, but the voice of these books is always fun, you know?
Yeah.
The quality of the mysteries varies wildly. But but they're always a fun read. They're always entertaining.
Yeah, it's got really strong characters and usually pretty good action scenes and crazy stuff that's fun to read about.
Mm-hmm.
You can totally tell when she gets bored of a story, though.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, as I was reading the end of this book, I was thinking to myself, it feels like she decided in the last few chapters that there wasn't going to be a fourth book, you know?
Yes.
Like, she was like, she had a bunch of, like, loose ends that could be the next mystery, mm-hmm. and she was like, now it's time off.
Yeah, remember the mysterious watcher?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, he's just a guy. It's fine. Yeah. Put him to sleep. It's fine.
Editor's probably like, well, should we just take him out then? Because, like, he doesn't really add anything to the story. She's like, no, I'd have to write more words then. Make a difference.
He went to sleep and woke up and everything was done.
I thought it was really cool that we went from Bontemps, which had its very distinct personality of its own, to a completely different place. Midnight is so different, even though they're both small towns in the American South.
That's a very good point, yeah. If you think about the spirit of Bontemps and the spirit of Midnight, like, very, 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 like, disparate, you know?
Yeah.
And it's, I'm sure it's a little bit to do with, like, the inhabitants of Midnight being this series of, like, misfits of various sorts, right?
Yeah.
So they're gonna be more accepting of some things and also more, like, you know, protective, but.
And this town is really inventive, too. She could have just done more vampire stories, but that is a great point. Definitely did not.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know if Olivia turns into a vampire. I don't know why, but I really care about that outcome.
Yeah.
I want to know what Olivia would be like as a vampire.
I assume she does eventually.
Yeah, I would expect so. But, like, does she keep being a hit person? Does she, like...
Yeah, this is a sad, sad world where vampires have to have jobs. So mm-hmm. probably that's what she does. There must be a lot of vampire hit people, actually.
It seems like one of those jobs where you'd be very good at it as a vampire,
except
right?
You can't go into people's houses. There's that thing.
Oh, that's right. Wait. Yeah, I guess it's never come up with Lemuel, but I assume it's a thing for energy vampires, too.
Wait, he went into Fiji's house. He woke up. I guess she's invited him in.
She must have.
Yeah, she must have maintained that open invitation.
That's why she didn't. Why? That's why Lemuel didn't kill the Reeds earlier on.
Because they never invited him in.
The trailer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's why they were going to kill. He was going to kill them between the trailer and the home cooking.
Yes.
Yep.
Well, that makes me a little sad that it's over.
Yeah. They were enjoyable. A lot of fun, though. Yeah, for sure.
And listeners, if you made it this far with us, thanks so much for listening.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure we'll be pivoting to another new series, and watch our Facebook, watch Armadillo.club to find out what's coming up next.
Yeah.
That's it for this week's episode. I am Alice Sullivan. That's Bluebonnet Cafe on Instagram.
I'm Jeff Lake. You can find me at jefflake.info.
I'm Michael Sparkman. I still don't have one of those.
If you have any questions, comments, or feedback, please drop us a line at hello@armadillo.club.
We love hearing from you.
Please share this with anybody you think will like this. Please give us good reviews wherever you got this. Please find out how you can give us your dollars at armadillo.club. Please like us in real life.
We're just so likable.
Until next time.
Good night, Cole Connor.